And it's so cool when you begin to see lives truly being transformed, because that is what shapes culture. And we all know that culture always trumps the vision. You can have the largest vision in the world. You can have all the money and a big crowd of people. But you'll realize one thing, that culture always trumps vision. And what I'm so pumped about this house is to understand and to know. And as I spend time with Pastor Rich and Malia, and they come to our house and hang out. They try to come a couple times a month. They used to come every week, but, you know, we'll take a couple times a month. But our boys love seeing them come. I have two sons, 14 and 16. So they know when Pastor Malia is going to be at the house, it's game night all night. So they don't matter if it's school or what. You know, they got a board game or ping pong, or she's there shooting pool or something. And so our families have a lot of fun. So they're not only great friends of Steph and mine, they're great friends of our kids. And it won't be long, we're going to be great friends with their kids. Amen? Amen? Good. As knowing these guys now for 13 years, and then in the last 7 years, really just being in a great relationship and friendship, an opportunity to mentor them, an opportunity to be spiritual leaders and spiritual fathers and mothers in their life, because that's something I always longed for. I had a pastor, and I had a few guys that kind of fill the role of spiritual father in pieces, but I never had that one spiritual father that just loved me for who I am, concerned about me, and that I'm concerned about, and have an amazing relationship. And I was just weeping to God about it. I said, God, I know some great men, and I got some great friends around the country, and, you know, we planted, you know, church in Kiev, two churches in India, and other churches like helping out with this one and over the other place. And but, you know, it's like, and then a lot of ministers that I've been so blessed with Brother Shambach and Brother Parson and all those guys. But still, to have that one-on-one person, I'd say, man, that's my spiritual father. And I was weeping before God, and I was pouting at God about 8-10 years ago, something like that. And he said, well, the way I see it, son, if you don't have it, you become it. And I said, well, what do you mean, Dad? What do you mean, Daddy? I said, you're picking me. My dad died when I was 3 months old. How am I going to be somebody's spiritual father? He said, the same way you're a natural father. You love them just like that. You love your kids, and they'll love you just the same way. And that's what it's been. And it's been so cool to watch them as they began to pastor this church, and to watch the culture and the DNA of this house grow, to see them grow as spiritual parents, and to see them just move from level to level in God, and really establishing things. It's so crazy when I come here and just feel the same anointing I do at Bethel. And it's because of us being one. And I want you to realize that God is doing some crazy, crazy things. I read a few testimonies from the first service from some of you guys, but I'm not going to really take the time right now to do it. But as I would say how close we are to these guys and what they mean, I think in the body of Christ we miss opportunities to enjoy the journey. I'm actually writing a book too. Here, Rich is going to beat me on it with his. See, he's on it. But I'm writing a book. It's entitled, What Do You Do When You Hate the Journey But Love the Destination? And I find myself in life a lot of times, if I'm not careful, I'll start hating my journey. First, I just start, it's uncomfortable. Then I just kind of dislike it. Then it stinks. And it just kind of goes. And then I have to repent and start over to love it again. You know, just like you do with your kids. And, you know, So what's interesting about that is, in the body of Christ, we can have people in our life that are so special, and I could feel Gloria's heart as she was just trying to get that across to you guys. And I addressed that a lot more in the first service, and I won't so much this service. But it's so easy to take for granted those that God's given us as a gift. Because these guys, and you hear it all the time, but let me tell you, it is true. They could pastor anywhere in the world. There are so many churches without pastors right now, and so many organizations looking to throw money at young pastors to plant them in huge cities. But these guys are called to you. These guys are called to this, not just Pikeville, but to this region. And you are going to be an amazing regional church. But the easiest thing to do is say, oh, it's Pastor Rich, Pastor Malia. They'll always be here. And that could be the case, and I figure it probably will be, but how sad it would be to get to heaven and never appreciate that fact. I mean, isn't it cool getting up on Sunday morning knowing who your pastor is? Isn't it cool that when you hear things about he and she, you hear good things, you find out how they're mentoring people and loving people? Guys, it's not happening in every church. It's not happening in every church. I've actually been counseling with a lovely gentleman that the church of 4,500 on a weekend that just went through a terrible thing in his life, blown everything apart. He's without a ministry and everything. And it breaks my heart because such a mighty man of God, and now he's going through this humbling process of being healed and all of that. But it comes so easy with all those thousands of people to look at this guy that planted that church and to see him as this mighty man, and that's all cool. But when he's weak, they just kind of clean their hands, and who's the next guy in line? And what we got to realize is they're people too. They're people too. And because they pray for us and they serve us, Jesus said, I came to serve all. And they do for us. Please don't ever take them for granted. And don't ever say, I'll say what I want. That's just pastor. Don't do that around me because I might get put in jail. So don't do that around me because I am from around this area. So, you know, I got family too. Amen. And I got cousins and uncles too. So, you know how that goes. So I want to talk to you a minute and just a few minutes today. And I want to talk to you about the mission of Christ. And I want to encourage you in this house because when you begin to look at the primary mission of Christ, the primary mission of Christ, we would think, first of all, the primary mission of Christ is salvation, healing, deliverance, raising people from the dead, doing these amazing things. But really, those are fruits from his mission statement. Those are just attributes from who he is and his personality. And by the way, he fulfilled them. Anything he did, he accomplished. Anything he attempted, he accomplished while he was here, including all those amazing things. But the true primary mission of Jesus Christ was to reveal his Father. And when you reveal the Father, then comes salvation, healing, deliverance, blessing, and all of these things that you see happen in the life of Jesus and what he brought here. Really, Jesus was just God with skin on. And if you want to know what your Heavenly Father thinks about you or others, or what he likes and what he dislikes, just follow Jesus. Read the red in your Bible, because everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did, and all of those things is what he believed. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I grew up, I was saved in a wonderful church over in Inez, Kentucky. You know, it's almost a city now. It's got a traffic light. And, you know, you're talking about the armpit, brother. You the kingdom from where I'm from. I mean, you know, we had to drive an hour to a movie. Amen. And then it wasn't any good. So I can feel you. This is king. This is awesome. But you know, whenever we've been in it, where was I before I got on the armpit thing? He got me going. Anybody remember? Huh? Got saved in Inez, wonderful people, amazing deal, grew up there. But I noticed my history there. I even noticed my history in Columbus when I was involved in a lot of huge ministries and a lot of things. And I even birthed my church with this same attitude of, hey, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he what? Didn't come to condemn the world. But that through him, he gave his only begotten son, what, so that he didn't condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And then we would start preaching condemnation. We would say, man, there's no condemnation in Christ because God gave him to not condemn the world, but to through him the world might be saved. But the way we live and the way we talk and the way we preach and even in our songs sometimes, it's condemning. And we throw people to the side. What I love is where the transformations God's done in my life in the last 10 years. And these guys didn't have to go through that. They got to learn it from me. Because I say, here's the way I mentor. I'll tell you what I messed up and blew. And if you don't do that, you're going to have a good life, man. I wish somebody had done that for me, Kenny. I mean, you know. But it's so true. It's so easy for us to say, that's our pastors. Trinity's our church. We're changing lives and shaping culture. Until you're really tested. Because every culture would be tested. I mean, I'm from a mom. My dad died when I was 3 months old. My dad was married before my mom. And his wife died when she's 31. He had 5 kids. He married my mom, 19 years younger than him. Had 4 children. I was the youngest, 3 months old. She still got about 3 of his kids in the home. He dies of cancer. Now, She's got kids from 3 months old up to juniors in high school with an eighth grade education. There was no food stamps. There was no welfare. You just got to make it. My mama went out and worked 2 and 3 jobs, multiple shifts, waiting tables, doing whatever she could. And she got through. And it's amazing what she'd done in her life. But here's the thing. When we were playing on our playgrounds as kids, and you're taking us from at the time when I was 5 or 6, some of my siblings still home in their teens, and there was 6 or 7 or 8 Daltons out there playing on our great, awesome, safe playgrounds on asphalt with steel poles and basketball goals that were real men's goals. They actually had chains for nets, praise God. Had those big swing sets, steel, man, you'd go 25 feet one way, 20 the other. It's awesome. Man, those were the days. You know what I'm saying, Mike? Those were the days. But whenever we were out on a playground, we could be in a spat. And we could be fighting. But don't you jump in. Because if you jump in, all of our attention went off of one another and what we were angry about. And we're going to be on you from the youngest to the oldest. And if your cousin come, we're going to be on them, your uncle and your daddy. If we have to, we're going to fight till it's done. And if you whoop us, we're going to fight every time you see us. I've seen my sister sucker punch high school guys and stuff over my older brother who was younger. Why? We're family. We're family. Man, wouldn't it be cool if the church took that approach? Wouldn't it be cool that we would not be condemning? Oh, we have all this grace for the world, and we have this grace for the drug addict and alcoholic and all these people that are hurt and wounded and in sin. Till they get in the church, but when they get into the church, you better straighten up, little buckaroo, get it together, because now, you know, you're representing Jesus. You see, what transformed my life is when I began to realize that God doesn't love me the way I'm supposed to be. He loves me just the way I am. What really transformed my life, and I'd been preaching this gospel at this time for nearly 20 years, is when I realized God uses people under construction. He didn't come for the physician. He came for the sick. And what we got to do is understand that we are family. And this is what happens whenever we begin to really look at the mission statement of Christ. When we really begin to look into his life and his heart, he tells us what it is in John 17:4. He gives us a hint. Jesus said this to his father. He said, I brought you glory, which is God's manifested presence or God being seen. I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. You know, we would think, man, that work is raising the dead, healing the sick, setting the captives free. But he tells us 2 verses later what it is. In verse 6, he says, I have revealed you, the Father, to those whom you gave me in the world. I've revealed you, the Father, to whom... See, when you reveal the Father, it changes everything. When we begin to understand him as Daddy, you see, whenever Christ prayed, they said, well, how do you pray? He started out, Abba, Father. Well, In the Aramaic, the word Ah or Ab is the same word for dad or da. So whenever you say Abba, it's dad or daddy. He said, Daddy Father. Daddy Father. He said, in other words, when someone says, Hi Father, could you help me out? You know, there's something weird going, hey Dad, I need something here. There's a whole different language and tone when there's relationship and you can just jump in at a higher level with someone, wherever your need or wherever it is, whatever it is that's going on. And Jesus wanted us to understand that it's about the family of God, not just us. And I was making fun of Kenny. He's out of here. He's in here now. I said, Kenny, man, gets up here and does the 1 minute prayer thing. By the way, he's over 1 minute. Just check it. Just say. But you're a preacher. That's the way it goes. But I said, man, I'm getting envious of Kenny. He's up here, man, giving like 3 words, and it's a message. And I'm sitting here, man, if I could write that down quick enough. You're not just a strong person. You're a strong people. I'm like, oh, man. Like, come on, brother. You just preach that today. You know? You're not just a little group, you're an army. And I mean, that's really the way the kingdom is, isn't it, Kenny? I mean, the kingdom's that way, man. We're not a person, we're a people. We're not just an organization, a group, or what people would classify a church. We're a family. And God and Jesus would say, man, I revealed you, Abba, Father, to them. Jesus didn't come to this earth to recruit workers. Jesus didn't come to this earth to equip leaders. Jesus didn't come to this earth to have a large following. Jesus didn't come to this earth to do anything except reveal his Father. Now, are you saying, oh, we don't work, we don't lead, we don't... No, see, I'll lay hands on you suddenly later. But right now, you just stick with me. What I'm saying is those things flow out of a heart of love and your DNA and your identity. You see, my two boys, when we did our pastor appreciation a couple weeks ago, they had Steph and I and the boys up here on a sofa, and people did the same thing, came up and said nice things to us. It's like different ones would speak, and every time they'd speak to our family, they'd say something. My boys are 14 and 16, and they'd say, oh, Pierce, man, I just see your mom in this and that, and your dad in this, Pierce, and that. Oh, Parker, you know, that's your dad when you say that or do that. And I'm just seeing my boys, they're like smiling, like, can you get us off this thing as age? Because the last thing a 14 and 16-year-old boy wants to do, or a young man, is to be compared to looking or acting like their parents. But they can't deny us. Because there's DNA traits that we have that are in them that they didn't get to choose. Because of us coming together and God involved in that made them. And there's nothing they can do about it. And that's what happens when you become a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What? You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become new. You start to look like daddy, act like daddy, walk like daddy, talk like daddy. Not pseudo, well, everyone, let's come together and have church. You know, it's like when we get our house ready, you know, it's like us. If you want something painted or fixed or something, just invite somebody from out of town, right? I mean, you kill yourself, don't you? Oh, well, honey, we got to get that garage done. We've not built it yet. I know, but we don't want to park it outside. We're always looking for stuff to do. I mean, that's the way my mom was. Every year, family reunion, she'd kill us for 2 months because she got all of her work done. Every room painted, everything done. She's a smart woman. The problem is we try to do that for God. And we try to get everything ready for him when all he wants is us. And we try to get everything ready for everybody else, and all they want is us. But what would happen if a church transformed lives to the point that we were transforming in the same image and likeness that we've been transformed by? Then we would shape culture. And the culture would look more like the kingdom of God and not just an organization. Now, I want to commend this church. You're doing that. And the reason I'm sharing this today is because I don't want you to back up. I want you to go forward. And your testimony is being heard all the way to Lexington and other places, Virginia and different places, because there's truly a movement here, and God is doing some awesome things. And I've become, because, you learn a lot through pain, right? And I've had a little pain in my life. And one of the things I've learned, man, I can tell you when I'm around people or a family or a church, and I can tell you when that place is healthy or not. And when I talk to people and hang out with people and so on, and I can tell this is a healthy house because I hear regular reports too, but I can tell you're a healthy house because you're a happy house and all of that. But here's what I want to challenge you with as the spiritual father of your pastor, and that is this. Be aware. And whenever you feel the enemy is messing with your mind to where you're negative instead of positive, check yourself. Because you think it's not that big a deal. You're just one person. No, it is a big deal. Because everyone's important to God. I brought this out in a lot more drama the first service. And I'm going to bear you the pain of that. Or whatever I did. But I have this little pet peeve. Josh, I got this little pet peeve. And I used to be one of the worst to do it. Well, what do you think about John over there? Yeah, I like John. I don't like John, but I love him. Wait a minute, you don't like someone, but you love them. And you're a Christian. Well, what Jesus said, I don't like the whole stinking world, but I love them, so I'm going to die for them. I mean, Jesus came with passion for people like us that didn't deserve it and were undone. And even when they get it, they don't get it. And even when they get put together, they break it. And then he has to put them together again. And when he promotes us, we embarrass him and us, and he loves us anyway and heals us up just to prepare us to promote us again. But we don't like someone. like we have a right to like someone. But we're children of God. Well, if we have the image and likeness of Daddy in us, we're going to start training ourselves differently. And we're going to start transforming ourselves in a way where we're in His likeness and His image. Why? Because our mission is the same as His, introducing them to Abba Father. And I promise you, it's kind of like the elder, don't pray for patience. I'm going to pray for patience. No, I'll see you, man. I got to go. I'm not even agreeing with you on that. Because you know what's going to happen. We're going to get some patience tests, right? Well, as soon as you say, I'm going to go over to this prayer group. Billy's in that group. I don't want to be in that group. Guess what? Before long, we're going to pray. Won't you get with Billy? For how long? 12 weeks? Oh, great. But see, if your culture is right, where's Billy? I want to be with Billy. Why? I don't know. I don't understand him, but I love him and I want to understand him. And then what happens, guess what? You grace someone, and you'll probably get some grace. Because you're somebody's Billy. You see what I'm saying? You don't believe it. Come up, Matt. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, I used to just like, with the Great Commission my whole life, you know, I love the power of God. I love healing and prophetic signs and wonders. I do an altar call every service like you guys at the end of salvation. And I love all the things to do with the Great Commission. But I had it wrong for so many years because my whole thing on the Great Commission was what? Those who are saved, and then I just take off. You know, they'll be baptized and they'll heal the sick and cast out devils and they'll do signs of follow all this. And I'm like, that's all I thought about. I only thought about what happened after instead of understanding the reason or the why things happened. And what I come to realize is I've gotten a little older. I'm not as gray as Mike, but I color mine a little more probably. Just see it if you're in debt or not. So the whole thing about that, before Mike got me off track, was the Great Commission is about relationships, not projects. Well, our project is a prayer ministry, and people make a project out of a prayer ministry. How about praying? How about can't wait to get together in a group to pray? Oh, we're going to pray? Let's do it. When? Friday? Okay, I'm in. This is family. If my family's going to pray, I'm going to pray. Outreach. You got to organize outreach. I do it at my church the fourth Saturday of every month. We do backpacks. We've given out 40,000 meals this year. We do that stuff. But you know what? What breaks my heart as a pastor, I'm still trying to break the culture to where I don't have to organize outreach. Can you imagine getting to heaven and Jesus said, you did a really good job with your project on outreach? See, it's a culture thing. Outreach is what we do every day because we don't want anyone to never get to know our daddy. When you're proud of your daddy, you want everyone to know your daddy. And when we want everybody to know our daddy at work, and we want everybody to know our daddy in our home, we want all of our children to know our daddy, our spouses, things begin to change and culture begins to shape the way God intended it to do. You see, the cool thing about the family of God, it's about building eternal relationships. It's so funny to hear Christians, well, I don't like Jill, but I love her. Well, what are you going to do if you both make it to heaven? And I do say if there for you. If you both make it to heaven, what are you going to do? Because God will have you rooming with Jill. I mean, that's just the way he is. The big guy, we act like God doesn't know. Shh, he doesn't know. He really doesn't know. Shh, don't say that. God will hear you. He's all-knowing, omniscient. He's everywhere all the time, omnipresent. And if I really don't want to do it, he can figure out a way because he's omnipotent. So who are we to question the way God shapes culture? All we need to do is be in his image and likeness and allow him to shape us. Because if we can take care of us, will be a benefit to someone else. And I want to say it to this church, you're on such a right track, and I feel so good about the forward move. I'm pumped about your all's next steps, and you know, the excitement that you guys have already been sowing on top of that. And this is an awesome time. But I'm talking maybe when you got 4,500 people a weekend and $17, $18 million in properties around the city, and you got your own non-for-profit places housing people, home and drug addiction stuff and all that, and entrepreneur things, and you got business for people who used to be addicted and now they're running businesses. I'm talking like $17 million a year later for you. What if it becomes about the projects and not the relationships? You see, pastors are the worst for it. A lot of times we're like, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm doing all right. I just had a little down Sunday last week. Yeah, three people didn't show up. I thought you had 1,000. I know, but those three, I just don't know what happened to them. Or we're evangelistic. I had 42,382,000 people. How many chairs you have, 99? And we're the worst for it. Why? Because of performance. Because of performance. I spoke Thursday at Lexmark, the corporation printers, all that. And they invited me in for this annual prayer gathering of Christians and their mentors. And I shared a little similar to what I'm sharing with you about Abba Father. And I said, this is kind of elementary, but let me share it with you. Man, I was getting emails and responses. No, it's changed my life. I'm so amazed at how many people don't understand that God's family is a family. And we're not divided up and separated. Just because someone goes to another church, it's kind of like us. And I'll close with this. It's kind of like at my family. You know, when I grew up, whenever somebody goes, you go to eat at someone's house, you're eating, it's dinner, it's with their family, but it's not the same as your house. Sometimes you like it a lot better than to eat there every day. Sometimes it's not as good. And what we got to understand is it's not so much about where people are going to church and all that stuff. It's about honoring everyone wherever they're at and loving them and lifting them up and praying for their ministries and their churches. And that way you can be healthy and do everything God has you to do, because when they come to eat with you, they're going to find out what true love and joy and peace is, just like you find out traits like that when you go visit them. What are you doing? You're shaping culture. You see, we got to be very careful. Lives are being transformed. Every service, you think something's not happening. Well, I made it to Sunday. I'm saved one more week. But really, every time you hear the word, every time you come in contact with another brother or sister in Christ, every time you hear a song, every time you read a verse, every time, something's happening in you. But also, every time you're talking to someone at work, what you're watching, what you're listening to, there's transformation happening. I'll never forget when I was real young, about 10 years old, I went and stayed on night with one of my buddies named Jeff. And Jeff was a troubled kid. I know it's hard to believe, a little more troubled than me because I was pretty troubled. And I'd spent the weekend with him. And, you know, I come home and it's Sunday afternoon or something, and I'm in there digging through the refrigerator, grind. I can't believe we're almost out of milk. We don't have anything to drink in this house. I'm going on, you know. Here my mom gave me money to go, let me have fun and be. And I'm coming home. I don't like anything. There's nothing in this house. This place stinks. My mom walked in that kitchen, said, "Hey, you little Jeffrey, you." I said, "You can't even get that right now. Name, that right. My name's not Jeffrey. I'm your ninth child." She said, "No, right now you're Jeffrey. And I'm getting ready to sacrifice Jeffrey. So I better get Dalton back real quick or things are not going to be pretty around here." Okay, I got you, Mom. That means I go pick the switch. If you like it and it don't work, I go get another one. Yeah, okay, I'll go to my room. And that's the way we are. We're like, who are we with that week is who we are. The importance of you attending church, the importance of you learning leadership, the importance of you teaching others, the importance of prayer, hearing the word, singing psalms, operating in the presence and the gifts of God is so this is the dominant culture in your life that shapes the other cultures you're in, especially your family. As we get ready to pray, there's two families. There's your family of origin, your natural birthing family. And then there's a family of choice, your spiritual family. And we pray to God that all of our family of origin saved and go to heaven. My family lives all over the country, different places. They don't all live in Lexington. And so even my spiritual family even becomes more like family to me because I'm with them way more now than my natural family. Your family might be in the city and you're still more with your spiritual family. They're both equally important. But you want your spiritual family to shape and dominate your natural family. You want your spiritual family to shape and dominate your work, your education, your neighborhood, and your community. Now, I'm not talking about transformation and you're some religious kamikaze and you just blow up everywhere you land. But I'm talking about a person that sounds like Christ, that does what Christ does, and loves like Christ. If that happens, it's unlimited what you can do in your vision. It's unlimited what you can do with this man and woman of God and the great leaders in this house. But please don't ever take them for granted.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more info about our ministry or Pastor Rich, find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Trinity Harvest. If this message has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear about it. Send us a message or prayer request to info@trinityharvest.net. Thank you.